Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about H4G Church, visit us at h4gchurch.com.
We're going to go straight into our word. And today, you know, since we started on September 23rd of last year, I've been preaching every Sunday, and this Sunday will be my first Sunday not preaching while I'm here in the city. So one of our own is going to be speaking today. Everybody's looking like, who? One of our own is going to be speaking today, and I'm excited about this person. He's been with us from the very beginning, even before we started the church, and I'm excited because of the fact that when I hear him speak, the revelation that he gives when he breaks down the word, it makes me want to go back into the word. So I get back in it. Let's stand as we receive our director of ministry, pastor in the making, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, bishop, Ryan Telford. Come on, let's receive him.
Awesome. You guys are awesome. You guys can have your seats. Like you said, we're an express train, so I'm not going to get in the way of that worship because we're going to get back into that. No, I'm not going to need it. No. Thanks. We're on the express train. We need to get back into that worship. I feel like stuff that God wants to do in the atmosphere, so I don't want to get in the way of that. But I also want to be follow the directions of my pastor as well, and just give you guys quick word that we are in our series called One Thing. Everybody say One Thing. And if you don't know what that one thing is, it's his presence and it's here. So just take some time to acknowledge that real quick. Thank him for it. Acknowledge his presence really quick. We have an access to something that a lot of people need. And the title scripture for our series is Psalms. We're going to go to that real quick. Members, H4G Church, know our title scripture for this series. Anybody? Who said it? Who said it? Priscilla, what do you say? All right, you got it? If you got it, read it real quick, Priscilla. Amen. Whoa. That David said, in all of my life, no matter what I do, if I only have one thing, I have his presence. If that was so important to David, and David is the guy that wrote like probably about half of the Old Testament. He wrote half of the Old Testament. He says, the only thing I want is your presence. What does that tell us about his presence? Our pastor last week taught a powerful message talking about making the presence a priority in our lives. David's secret was that, just that. He made the presence of God a priority in his life. Because he said, just one thing. When I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, no matter what I do, the one thing that I desire is that I be in your presence. I don't want to depart that at any point in my life. I don't want to depart from that in any space in time. Because that's all, we live in time. God doesn't live in time. So his presence is eternity, but in time, we don't want to depart from that. Because when you depart from God's presence in time, this is when we start to see obstacles. In God's presence, there's no obstacles. in time, there's obstacles, but in his presence, when his presence and time come together, there's no obstacle. It's called a Kairos moment. When we are supposed to be walking Kairos moments for people to experience God's presence every single time we come around. Your assignment is to make somebody's day every single day of your life. No matter how you feel, no matter what happens, your assignment as a believer is to make somebody's day. David lived for that. And he said, that's my one desire, and this one thing is to be dwell in the house of the Lord, and this meditate in this temple. Behold the beauty of the Lord. And this is the one thing that we don't see when we see people ministering to people. We don't see the beauty of the Lord. Before this, we had a series called Beautiful Feet. And I think our pastor, Strategic, he might not, I don't think he realized it, but he kind of set us up perfectly. We had beautiful feet, and then we had his presence. He did. See? Don't put anything past him. But we have to understand that they go together. Beauty and his presence go together. So if we are a people of his presence, we're beautiful people that carry a beautiful gospel, that have beautiful feet, and that bring peace. It's just that simple. If that's our entire motives of our life, it says, hey, my God's beautiful, I'm beautiful, I have beautiful feet, therefore I bring peace to everybody. And most of our problems come because we question that one thing that he gave to us, his presence. We question, do I have it? Is it with me? I don't feel it. I don't sense it. But the key is that in this new covenant, we have something called the Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit, his presence, and if you're a believer, this is if you're a believer, if you believe that Jesus Christ died, he rose again for your sins, and when you confess that and you believe that in your heart, and you ask the Holy Spirit to come and live in you, you have his presence with you every single day. A pastor, Bill Johnson, says this. He says that we experience the reality we are most aware of. Let me say it again. We experience the reality we are most aware of. What reality are you most aware of? What reality are you most aware of? Are you most aware of time and the laws of this world? Or are you more reality of his presence? You guys can talk back to me if it's good. You guys can say it's good. You guys are quiet. So, if we are supposed to be a people of his presence, because that's our simple mandate as kingdom people, we're supposed to be people of presence. So, the one thing that we know that we have the Holy Spirit, but what do you do in those moments and those times where you don't quite feel, hey, God, I don't sense you. I don't know how, I don't know, I don't feel you. Because there's two ways you can always get into God's presence. There's principles, there's ways to get in, there's methodologies in which this presence, and there's a passion that allows you to get into his presence. So either follow the principles or you follow the passion. When you don't have passion, you use the principles. And today, what I want to talk to you is about one of the principles. And it's what you guys all just did about 20 minutes ago. Not even, all right, for the last 20 minutes, or maybe more than 20 minutes, 45 minutes, is worship. Worship is a principle on how to enter and remain in the presence of God. And there's a law that the most biblical scholars know, the law of first mention. So I'm going to go back to the first time that word worship is mentioned in the Bible. And it's going to be Genesis 22. Going to follow me really quick. I'm going to hop around really quick. Like I said, we're in an express train. I'm going to get out of here real quick and get back into that worship experience. So in Genesis 22, if you guys don't, if some people are not aware, so Genesis 22, this is where Abraham is offering up his son Isaac. So it starts off on verse 1. It says, "Now it came about after this thing that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am." Before you go, that's the first thing that we need to understand about the principles, one of the principles of worship. You always have to say, here I am. One of the most powerful worship songs, it says, here I am to worship. We sing that song, but we don't recognize what we're saying. Because you're saying, God, here I am to worship. That's the first thing. You have to be willing. He's not going to force you. The first thing you have to say is, God, here I am. All right? Next verse, please. Thanks, Daryl. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. There's also a key thing in that verse. Go back to verse 3, please, Daryl. It says, at the end, he says, arose, that means he did something, went to a place. Worship always takes you to a place. Worship always takes you to a place. Come on. I'm going to say it over the side. Worship takes you to a place. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Go back to that verse. It says, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a place afar off. That means he was going at this for a while. That means this didn't happen instantaneously. Even God didn't say, go up, and he goes there, and day one, he was right there. It said, the third day, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. When you worship, when you get into a particular atmosphere and you get and you ask and you ask, when you get in a particular atmosphere of God, there's something called open heavens. I personally believe there's open heavens over every believer. But sometimes we're not aware of those open heavens. But in open heavens, you get stuff faster if you're aware of it because it's a direct line. It's not, hey, I got to call this person to get to this person what's the extension that I need to get to this? No, it's a direct line. I have a direct number to go directly to God. But if you are not aware of that open heavens, sometimes it will take you a little bit of time before you see where God wants you to be in worship. This is why sometimes in worship where we sing songs, the first song doesn't do it, The second song doesn't do it. The third song doesn't do it. But at some point, the worship leaders, one of these worship leaders can tell you, they can see that place where they need to be far up. So they say, come on, let's keep going. Let's keep singing this song because there's some place we need to get into God. And we need all you guys to get there with us. So they keep on singing that song until y'all get there. Because they see the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship. That's the first time the word worship is mentioned in the Bible. This is not to say this is the first time anybody worshiped in the Bible, but this is the first time it is mentioned in the Bible. And we will come back to you. We're going to stop right there. All right? So we need to understand that when the word there, when he says worship, is to attribute worth to an object. Worship is the worship of one you worship. It's two words. It's worth and ship. So you're attributing some. It's somebody who's worthy of something, so you're giving them something in a ship. So it's worth. Oh, you're worthy, so I'm bringing you a ship of something. All right? For a believer, what's in that ship is our lives. Because everybody knows that, maybe not everybody, I don't like saying everybody knows stuff because everybody doesn't always know stuff. But the Bible says in Romans, it says, Romans 12, it says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That is your ship. To present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in his sight. All right? The also thing that we have to need to mention here is that when Abraham actually went to go worship, there wasn't 500 people. It wasn't 30,000 people together. It was just him and his son. It was just two people. We have to understand that worship is not about how many people I come to the church on Sunday to worship. No. Worship is an everyday thing. Worship is something that you're supposed to constantly be in. If you ever find yourself outside of worship, man, that's someplace you don't want to be. If it's one thing that you don't want to be, it's outside of his presence. There was no music. I love music, but there was no music. There was no singing, no choir, no soloists. There was no money. And there was no prayer offered. He didn't even offer a prayer. We think that all these things that we have to do is about, I got to conjure up this. I got to do this. I got to work for this. I got to get this. No. You don't. Because a living sacrifice to God is a sacrifice that is at rest. A living sacrifice to God is a sacrifice that is at rest. Because there's something that happened on this day on Calvary, and this guy named Jesus, he died, and at the end he said it was finished. And then, prior to going to that cross, he said, "My peace I leave with you so that you can rest." His peace was left with you so that you can rest. Because when it finished, what he did, you no longer have to strive for what was given to you by an inheritance. Do you ever see anybody who's wealthy saying, "Hey, I got to get up and go work today because I got to go do this"? Prince William and these guys, they're soldiers for fun. That's basically it. They're soldiers for fun. They feel there's something that they have to do. They don't have to work, but they work from a place of rest because they know who they are. And because they know who they are, now people recognize them. And people attribute things to them that they don't even think of themselves that way, necessarily. We are the same way. We're supposed to be the same way. If somebody sees you and they see you walking down the street, they should say, "That's a believer. And I know he might have something that I want, so I'm going to go ask him, I'm going to go talk to him." Or you're going to walk down the street, you're going to see somebody and say, "Hey, you, I have a word for you. God told me this about you." Because the nature of our open heaven is that breakthrough, salvation, redemption, recovery, any of those things, any of those words you want to use, is always there. But if we're not aware of that, because we're not in a state of worship, aware of his presence, then somebody misses their healing. Somebody misses their breakthrough. Because we're not aware of where we're from. I'm gonna say it again, because we are not aware of where we're from. Go back to that Bill Johnson quote. He says, "You reflect the reality you're most aware of." Our duty as believers is to be more aware of heaven than we are of earth. Because in all reality, earth is just simply litter pieces of rock, stones, that you can say, "Let that mountain be moved," and it will be moved. Because your reality is superior to this reality. But an awareness of your superiority is needed in order to change this reality. We have to be aware of the reality that's superior. If you're at work and you have a colleague and you have your boss, if your colleague comes in the room and say, "Hey, Rupert, I need you to go and do this for me," what are you going to tell them? "I don't work for you, right?" "I don't work for you." That's an inferior reality to him. That person is living an inferior reality to him. But when the boss comes in and says, "Hey, Rupert, I need to get it done. I need to get done by 5:00. And you say, "Done." So that was a superior reality. So we have to understand that nature. It's as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Right? So real quick, coming home. So we have to understand that when Abraham was doing this as well, that it wasn't easy. Neither was it convenient. When God called him to go worship, the first thing he says is, "Here I am." He didn't know what he was signing up for, but he said he had to go. On the third day he rose, then he saw it. So he picked up on the first day. He started going on the trip. He didn't know where it was going. God says, "You're going to this place, and I'm going to show you." And he rose up, and he saw the place afar off on the third day. So he went 3 days into this. That's not easy. A three-day trip with your son, carrying this burden of, hey, this son that I'm carrying with me, that I'm going to have to sacrifice. Really quick, I just heard this one guy. He says, there's somebody who's carrying something that they need to sacrifice. You've been carrying it through this week, but by the end of the service, you need to sacrifice it. I don't know who that's for. You're carrying something, but by the end of the service, you need to sacrifice it. And that sacrifice might not be easy for you because it wasn't easy for him. And he did all this walking. In this day where we have planes, automobiles, trains, cars, some of us wouldn't even take a trip across the ocean if we have the money in the bank account if God tells us to go. But this man took a trip with his son for 3 days walking to a place that he didn't quite know where it was. The Bible says this. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to understand this reality is that we gain more by faith in his presence than anything else. So if we walk by with a lifestyle of worship, and we're in faith, we would get more than anything else. Because I'm going to this point over and over because I want to hit this point home today, is that heaven is a superior reality. So if we walk by faith and we are more aware of that reality, things will always change. So we have to walk and say, hey, no, today I'm getting up. And I don't know who it is I'm going to pray for, but somebody is going to I have to pray for them today. I don't know who it is, but today somebody is going to need me to pray for healing for them. Someday somebody's going to need my beautiful feet to walk across their life. We have to be aware of that superior reality. It's our single mandate as believers. So, I want to go to one more quick scripture. I don't see her. Okay. Do we have, okay, Marcus left, okay. Any married couples sitting together right now? Together, in here, two together? Okay. All right. I'm gonna need Sister Carol and our brother Phil. Can you guys just come? I'm gonna need you guys for in a second, real quick at the end. So I said a scripture, right? That scripture is going to be Psalms 34. Psalms 34. You got it, Daryl? Yeah, you can put it up, please. says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will worship him continually. Don't let this word praise make you guys think that praise and worship are two different things. We always see that word praise and says, oh, I'm happy, I gotta jump, I gotta be excited. It's not always that. It's a continual thing that you're aware of and that you declare over your day, your life. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Together. This is the key. As believers, we need to get people together on one accord, magnifying the one who's worthy. JR said this before, is that when you magnify the Lord, it's not that you're making him bigger. Because when you use the magnifying glass, you don't make things bigger. You just make it appear bigger. It's a perspective thing, right? Going back to that reality that you're more aware of. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Whoa. So you're telling me if I continually seek God and I'm continually praising him, he's going to deliver me from all my fears? Why have I not been doing this? You know, that's what your question is. You're like, why have I not been doing this? All right, verse 5. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This is the one thing about worship. Once you, if you are a worshiper and you get into worship, there's something about people, and I say this all the time, I notice it, and you guys might not notice it because I come up here. From the beginning of service to after worship, you guys' faces change. Your demeanor, your posture, it changes. You're not aware of it, but it's an automatic effect of being in his presence because it says, they looked at him and were radiant. When you worship, he showed up, you saw him, it hit you, and you're radiant. Something changed. And you're not ashamed. All right, we're gonna stop right there.